Blog Talk Radio.
Activate. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Which is gonna break the table tonight? Give it to them, and I'm gonna give it to you. They don't understand the whole thing. I'm not gonna go up. There ain't no dog on tomorrow, brother. We gonna do it today, or we gonna do it.
Hold up. Man up.
What are you? I'm comfortable.
It's time to man up.
All right, everybody.
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I'm you.
Just answer the damn question.
Man up.
Behold this. Life. Real life.
That's what real men do.
Man up.
You're breaking up terribly. I don't know if that's my phone or yours, but I could barely hear anything you're saying.
Yeah, I could barely hear anything either. What's going on, bro?
I can hardly hear a word you're saying. If you're speaking, man, you really sound like...
Currently, we're having technical difficulties beyond our control.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
You're breaking up, man. You sound like a transformer.
Okay, did we both sound like transformers?
Yes, I did say you sound like a transformer.
Nas, Ed, Haas. Brothers, can any of you hear me?
Hello, everybody. Testing 1, 2. We back online, right, gentlemen. Hello?
I'm right here.
Okay, my apologies. Once again, our apologies for technical difficulties. We have a little disruption in the service, so we'll take care of behind the scenes. Gentlemen.
Yeah, he's starting to break up again, man.
For real.
Yeah, Nas, that's your phone, man. Yeah, I think you're going to have to go ahead and say rest in peace to that rotary phone you're trying to use on the air, man.
Get out.
Wow. We don't hear a word you're saying, man. You might be trying to get me back, but it's not working.
What about everybody else? Is everybody else on the line?
All right. Ed Darrell's on the line. How you doing, my brother?
How you doing, man? Good morning. How you doing? I mean, I'm saying good evening. I'm saying good morning. It is good evening. Pardon me. I have a newborn child. I don't even know what today is until my wife tapped me and say, hey, babe, it's Friday. You might want to get ready for the show.
Yeah, I totally understand. I'm running late myself. I said, oh my God, it's almost 7 o'clock. Let me get somewhere stationary for a minute, so you know we can do our talk fast. So
that's what's up. Anybody else on the line? Is Hot Time here?
Black 1212.
Hot Time, you here?
Okay, I guess just me, you, and the Gremlins.
Is it just you and I? That'll work. Well,
I'm on deck. Hello, you guys got me?
Who's this?
This is Naz.
Oh, what's going on? You got rid of the rotary phone.
No, listen, my apologies, ladies and gentlemen. For whatever reason, the main host line is having severe problems. I had to call from the guest line. So my apologies to everyone. We usually don't get down like this, but trust and believe, I'm paying for it. You know, so I'm going to give it the technical support.
All right.
So I think you're on deck. You know, let me just once again just reintroduce everyone. You're welcome to the Man Up Talk Show. Of course, we got the brothers, brother Ed Fairley of Edward L. Fairley, let me get it correct. Of course, we got my brother Darrell, I believe, is online. I think we got someone else online. Who else we got online? Then we got somebody else online. Some windows, we'll just put them on hold for now.
All right.
Okay, let me see what we got here. Okay. Brother Hassan is still at work, I believe, but I know he'll be tuning like he always does. So the topic, brother, I got a couple of calls on this topic. The topic today is bitch or nigger. I think we discussed, are we glorifying it or are we dehumanizing the subject? I think it's perfect to lead in with you two gentlemen because I know we use the word nigger quite often. And also I've heard women use the term bitch. Well, this is my bitch, you know. Oh, that's my bitch. But, yeah, if you call a woman a bitch, be prepared for the hot grits and frying pan. You know,
now green tea.
Yeah, I mean, so it's different ways. So I think it's a perfect way to bring it in. And also, I want to give a special shout out to a couple of people at my lady's job, in Union County Probation. They're checking us out. We appreciate your support. We apologize for technical support, the issue that we had early, but we appreciate you tuning in. You know. So they're checking out the show. A couple of strong brothers and sisters are checking out. So we hope you enjoy the show and the talk that goes down. So, Brother Eddie, now, where we at with the subject?
Man, this topic here, it's a good topic. And it's a controversial topic, I think, for several reasons. One, or to several types of people, let's put it that way, not necessarily several reasons, several types of people. One, I think it's going to depend. The passion, depending on which side of the coin you're on, per se, is going to be dependent on how old you are, meaning which era
generation.
Were you raised in.
Generation.
So if you were born in the generation when hip hop got pretty strong, you might be kind of on the fence on this. If you were born during the civil rights movement,
you done.
And earlier than that,
no, you done.
I don't really see too much wiggle room on the topic.
Absolutely.
I think it also is dependent on the mental strength of the person as well. You have some people that are just like, I don't care. It's not me. You know, you have those people that's like, it's not me. They're not talking about me, and they might not necessarily use the word, but at the same time, they're not offended by the word. Then you also have those people that that will use the word and just. In their mind, say, well, they're not talking about me, so I'm going to use the word and just know it's not me in my mind, when in actuality they really are. I don't know, man. We can go in on all types of angles with this. Darryl, where are you at with it?
All right, brother, you said a mouthful, but I'm going to spit it too. It's generationally. I mean, for me personally, and I'll deal with me. All right. From somebody our age, it being used very loosely, I'm not with that. We know better. We were raised better. We know better. We understand where it came from. We understand the definition and the meaning of it and what others perceive it to be. Not necessarily what if you say, Yo, D, my nigga, what's going on? Bop, 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 bop. I understand it. You do not mean it derogatorily. I do understand that is not your intent. That could be misconstrued depending on where you said it to me at.
Yeah.
You know, depending on our audience, you know, no, there's certain things you don't bring outside the house, son. You just don't bring it outside the house. You understand what goes on inside mama's house and what goes on outside mama's house. You know, don't bring this out though. In some aspects. Now, for a younger generation, yes, it has been desensitized. It has been, for lack of a better word, whitewashed. For a term. Not saying things derogatorily, but use the word whitewashed. Where we have embraced a lot of definitions or wording, phrases, cultural mannerisms that in some instances would say depict our, let's just say, not necessarily our finest hour, so to speak. So, yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is this. Would you, I mean, anybody that would refer to his lady, I know you're not going to refer to your lady as a bitch. You're not going to refer to your daughters. You're not going to refer to your moms or your grandma in that vernacular. You're not going to do it. So what makes it right to defame somebody else's mama or somebody else's sister or somebody else's daughter? By using that terminology, it's generational, where somebody younger, not necessarily, let's say, raised with the same mindset, is not going to see it as being derogatory.
So I'm going to say right now on this topic, more than likely, people are going to end with saying, "Well, dang, where is Eddie on this daggone topic?" Outside of the topics parts of this one. Normally, if you see me at a party or a gathering or what have you, more than likely, this is what I will do, and I do it with intent. I will listen to what the majority is saying about a topic, and I will intentionally
spark a thought from the opposing side that will force that majority to kind of question their thought process. And the only reason why I do it is because I am determined to force people to look at both sides of the coin before making a decision. Because without seeing two sides, you're not really making an educated decision. You're just making a you have no choice. You just think that there's only one way. So I try to provide people with the entire picture. So you'll probably consider me Yoda in this in this dialogue or trialogue, in the sense that I'm going to be talking in questions. And what I mean by that, a good example is, so is it possible for you to take power from a word by giving it, beauty or power in it when it was intended to hurt you? So if they take the word nigger or bitch and they use it in the sense that they are being complimented or they have now become someone of power or a diva or what have you, did they take the power away from the people that use it with the intent of harming? It's kind of like if you are embarrassed about something, you being the first person to talk about it. If you're the first person to talk about it, you kind of take the power from the person that would have joked you about it had they known that you were embarrassed about it. Does that make sense? Y'all follow me at all? So my question is it possible to take the power, the negative power from something that was intended to use to dehumanize you and make it a powerful thing? Because in the end, I mean, if we have both sides and people can argue about this topic all day long, is there really a wrong in this? Because in the end, you were, that generation prior to, I'll say, the hip-hop era, they were taught that this is just a negative word, and they had the abuse and stuff that came with the word, whereas in hip-hop, they were taught that this is a cool word, and they had the friends that came with it and the quote-unquote love and respect that they got from the people that they were around after using the word. So is there right and a wrong? And can you take the power that has been given to it negatively or positively from a word and actually make it something that it wasn't supposed to be?
Okay. Now, I have a comment on that, brother.
Good.
You know, we got a lot of our professional, quote-unquote professional people, people in politics, people who call themselves white-collar workers. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean ethnic race, but I hear, you know, judges, lawyers, people, professional people talking about, oh, this nigga this, or this bitch this. You know, I hear that commonly used. But yet these same people are preaching to younger generations or how to carry themselves. Is that considered more of a double standard way? Because I know that we glorified it with more of the younger generation and the views gets in, but, you know, are we being, I'm going to say we because I'm guilty of it as well, are we being contradictory and hypocrites as well?
By using that vernacular and then teaching someone how to be raised or how to act.
Right, in today's society, when we have a lot of these professional people that try to say, well, listen, young man, this is what you need to do. You need to learn how to talk and communicate. Because I think we talked about it in one of our other shows about communication. Are we being contradicting ourselves when we're trying to teach a better way of life to our younger generation? And when here it is, us so-called, quote-unquote, adults and professionals, we're utilizing the same words.
Well, no, it depends on how you say it. I mean, if you go, this nigga here. Now, you're not saying that compliment. That ain't no compliment. Trust me, that is not a compliment. He means nigger, like they mean nigger. It is just same thing. You know, this bitch, you know. They don't mean that complimentary. That's not a compliment.
Yeah,
you know. That's not even
in the friendly face. So you mean tell me, if we're talking, just kicking it as men and brothers. I'm like, yo, what's up, my nigga? Are you gonna get offended?
That's different. But the way that you said it, when you talk about talking in the workplace, that this nigga over here, That is not, that's not a compliment. That's not throwing rose petals at nobody, bro. That's pretty much the same.
So you're saying now it's about where you at and when you're utilizing it. Is that sound about right?
No.
What I'm saying is the
manner from which you said it initially. Now, if you were to say you're in the workplace, you know, everybody's super tired, they doing their Joe Public thing. You know that Joe right there? That's my nigga right there. That is a complimentary stance.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go, Joe, that nigga, that's not complimentary. There's nothing complimentary about it. I mean, literally, I'm putting you down. I'm saying you that gum underneath my shoe. You that nigga. You know what I mean? That is not a compliment. That is right there is derogatory. So when you say, okay, you tell a young man, you know, young man, you shouldn't really use that word like that because it's not anything that's embracing somebody. If I'm just using the word derogatorily, I'm using it as a derogatory statement. When I'm using it solely for, if I would never call you my boy and call you my nigga, you know what I mean? If
right.
I would say, you my boy, you my man, you my dog, you my, you know, you that brother. If I never say you my nigga and I don't register that in my head as a compliment, but I use nigga for that nigga. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's derogatory. There's nothing. I'm not embracing anything. I'm using the word as that ignorant person. Nigga means ignorant person.
That's right.
I'm saying
exactly what you mean.
You are a ignorant person. That is exactly what I'm saying. Now, if I'm calling you a bitch, I'm calling you a female beast. Seriously.
I'm glad you said that. Just give me a quick second because I'm going to lose this thought, but I'll say it. Now,
okay.
I heard someone just today, you know, I'm not going to put his name out there. I have a man that works with me. He refers to, I guess, some of the women he works with, he's, you know, as, oh, that's my girl, that's my bitch. And when he said that, he was saying it in a complimentary way, but I didn't take it that way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is that in that same spectrum?
It's generationally.
Yeah.
I mean, brother, I wouldn't have took it positively either.
But he was laughing and joking with her, and he said it to this woman, and she's laughing and joking with him.
Now, from on the outside, listening to you all converse about the topic, I already conclude that it sounds like the word nigga, just the word nigga thus far, it sounds like, kind of like how, you know, you kind of teach a girl at a church or when she's going for a job interview about a dress or a skirt. If you got to question it,
you don't do it.
When you're supposed to when you're supposed to wear it or when you're supposed to use it, then maybe you shouldn't be using it.
Do it at all.
right. No.
And as far as what you said earlier about the the guys. Now, see, that's another thing too. This is another thing about this, these words. Some people, they are, and this is no, well, it is a pun intended. They're niggers to the fact that they don't realize that when they're using it, that they're being offensive or being rude because of how, like you said, how desensitized they are to the word. So you might have those quote unquote white collar teachers that are teaching how to be an upstanding citizen or stand upright and, yo, you got to be respectful, keep your pants up and all this stuff like that. But it's not unusual for them to call each other niggas on a day-to-day basis. So when they do teach, they might not be coming from a negative place. They may very well be being positive or whatever, but again, it's going to go right back to, dang, should I be saying, do I say this here, do I say that there, and I'm going to go right back to the whole skirt thing. Like, if you got a question when you should be using it, then maybe you shouldn't be using it. And it's kind of like the guy or the people at work, you're like, they're saying it, but if you're saying it, and this is dangerous for me to say, too, because you have some people that are like, I say it all the time. I don't change who I am, and that's just the kind of person that I am, and that's why I say it's dangerous. But if you have to
alter when you say it, or be like, I can't say that around mama, or I shouldn't be saying that in the workplace, or what have you, then you might want to
check
that word away.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Now I'm going to twist this now. Now, and I know you guys know what I'm coming from when I go this route. We're going to go race now. I've had this debate, and I have some close friends, you know, friends Caucasian, you know, Hispanic. They use, you know, I think the debate came over. Hey, listen, how come you can use it on a regular basis? I grew up in the same hood you grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Caucasian. Why can't I use it? Oh, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what my other boy said. No, it's different. You say that, you can get your teeth knocked in for the most part. But he grew up in the same hood that we grew up in, you know,
right.
Caucasian, but he can't use it. And, you know, he asked a real question. He's like, you know, I don't understand. And the debate was on from there. I don't understand how come, you know, you guys can use it. I grew up in the same hood you grew up. I wasn't rich. I didn't grow up in no Beverly Hills type environment. I grew up in the hood. How come
this,
you guys can use it and we can't?
This is what blows me about the whole concept of the word. Because on one hand, I can sit here and pretty much argue and say that, well, you know, the hip-hop generation, they didn't necessarily see the negative aspect of the word. They just heard it from, you know, the brothers in the zoot suits saying, hey, what up, nigga? You know, and doing their thing, and they've adopted it as a positive term, and they used it to glorify one another. And with that being said, it kind of makes me say, okay, well, maybe they don't know any better. But then when you throw that rich in the whole context of the argument, when you say a white person can't say it, that tells me that you do understand where that word comes from. You feel what I'm saying? Because if you didn't know any better, then the color of the person that said it wouldn't matter. So on one hand, you do grasp the concept of how terrible that word may or may not have been. So why would we go that far into it? Now let me help you all understand this, and this is another reason why I'm going to play both sides, because for one, I am not a hypocrite. I have used that word probably more than half my life. So with that being said, I'm not going to sit here and say one is right and one is wrong. I'm definitely going to play with this thing all day. Do I use it now? Nah. As a matter of fact, I ain't even going to say nah. I'm going to say not so much. with that being said, it's like, first I can argue saying I'm not sure if they understand how piercing that word can be, but at the same time, like I said, when you throw that thing in there where white people can say it, or no, it's the fact that he used the ER at the end instead of just using the A, that's where I got a problem with it. What? and even with that, you know, if you think about it, it's not necessarily that black people don't use the ER, it's black people don't, and for the most part, don't put the ending on anything. If you listen closely, we don't put the entire ending on anything. That's just our dialect is. It's not necessarily that we adopted something and made it cool. It's just that's how we talk. We do not say the INGs at the end of our words. We say, where you going? We don't say, where you going?
Right, exactly.
We say, where you going? So it wasn't necessarily that we just took a way to justify something that we adopted as negative, no different from chitlins, because that's what we end up eating as the leftover of the meat that we ate after they ate the good portion of the pig, which I don't even know how that even sounds good at all, the good portion of a pig. But we took something that was given to us negatively, and we tried to make a positive out of it. But at the same time, like I said, when you throw that wrench in there, it means we understood where it came from and what the problem is. So that's where I'm kind of I'm lost. Like I said, I can play with this all day. I can say that, okay, the word nigger is just like any other word in the dictionary. There's not just one definition to it. Yet we take this word and we give it so much power. How many words can you look up in a dictionary, especially an English dictionary, and there's going to be several definitions to that word. Just like you said, the word means ignorant, yeah? And also, you can say, you read more and say it's an offensive word to a black person, or it's another way of saying Negro. You can just keep looking in the definition and find that the word means something, especially in the English language. So it's kind of like, okay, which one did you choose, and you want to go with that? No, there's so many ways to say two. That's a pet peeve of mine. You spell it one way and it's different. You put two O's, that means also. You put one O, that means you're headed a certain way, direction-wise or whatever. You put a T between the O, it's numbers. Yeah, it's like it's so many things, and it's what did you adopt it to be, and does that make you right or wrong? And that's where we are with this topic.
Good job. What do you think, Darryl?
Yes, sir.
But I mean, it, like I said, this thing goes really, 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 really deep. Now, back to the nigga portion of our program. you absolutely right. When you got to, when there's white folks around, and you intentionally skirt away from the word, y'all would nigga this, nigga that, nigga.
But the you're sitting there saying, I dare him to say it.
Y'all gonna hang that boy. Seriously, that boy ain't gonna make it out of the room. I mean, he could been your best friend. Y'all could have shared a bologna sandwich and everything. And he said, you my nigga. Key word here, my nigga. From a white man. No, I don't care how close you think you are. It's going to take you to a very dark place that you've never been personally, but your great grandpappy sure was, and you have to forsake it. Get this man. Now, the fact is, I mean, I think a lot of the desensitivity to the subject basically comes from us not standing on moral ground.
Yes.
Sometimes we just, going too far. We need to back it up. We need to bring this down a little bit. We're being a little bit respectful. For an example, when a young man is shagging and he's walking by an older woman. Now, an older woman should never have to tell a young man to pull up his pants. But
amen.
I've seen it happen a million times before. Young man, I know you were raised better. They will stop. Pull up their pants, say, excuse me, ma'am, and walk about 20 feet before they readjust their pants back to the second position. But they gave her that respect and knew that to her it was disrespectful. To society, it is disrespectful, but yet you continue to do so. Even though a lot of people do understand where it came from, that it came from prison, and it was an easy access point.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I don't mean it that way. I mean, I've told many a young man, I said, now, look, if that's the way you flow, and that's the way you ride, and that's what you're doing, what can I say? I mean, I'm not with you, but, hey, if that's what you do, that's what you do. But if you're a heterosexual male, you're not in prison. You're a free man. You're free. What are you doing? I mean, that's just my opinion, but I think it's generationally. Now, if I was 10 years younger, I might not think there's anything wrong with it. It's generationally.
Wow.
Where I am, I am totally opposed to it. I think it's one of the most ignorant, niggerish things that I have seen in more than a minute.
Now, you know what? You just tapped into something, man, Darryl, because what you have said to me, I know a lot of people didn't grasp it like that, but what you just said to me is, what you've exposed or unveiled is that prison is not a location, a physical location thing. It's a mental location thing. We are in bondage and shackled in our minds in regards to the decisions that we make. Oh my gosh, there's so many things that. First of all, First of all, people call me. They call me a walking brain, and they say you think about everything. I promise I'm searching. I'm about to take yoga and everything with the intent of learning how to meditate just to quiet my mind for at least 5 to 10 minutes. I don't think my mind has ever been quiet. Even when I sleep, I'm thinking. But there's so many different things that we see and we don't pay attention to, and I think that's how we got to where we are today. Great example. You know, we talk about molestation, right, or how, man, that's rape. She's under 18 or he's under whatever. That's rape. Yet we sit and watch Color Purple, and we never question how old Mr. is to Whoopi Goldberg in the sense that was very common for an older man to get a younger girl to take care of his crops and all that stuff like that as a wife.
Mm-hmm.
So when did the shift change? When did it happen to where that was wrong or that was right and now it's wrong, and when is it going to be right again potentially? Because normally history repeats itself.
Yeah.
So when did all this stuff happen? Was nigger okay? Matter of fact, it was okay. How many times as slaves did we say, all right, boss, you're right? They say, nigger, go pick that, basket or whatever. All right, boss. Hey, man, we good niggas. Don't think we bad niggas. We do what we supposed to do, boss. You don't no need to. You know that was nigga was not it was desensitized then. We decided to stand up for it and decide that okay, it's wrong, and then we made it wrong at a time where it was right. And then there's still people that are still in that mindset. You go to the deeper south, and it is not uncommon to hear that word nigger, and those people are not current when it comes to the times, and they use that word, and the black people that are around them, they don't find it offensive. They think that's just a norm. So it depends on where you are, who you are, and the decision you made about the word, and where society has grown, and even in that sense, in that location, when it comes to whatever the action is or the word is that's being used. So that's where all the confusion is coming from, yet we say the good old times or the good old days, that wasn't the good old damn days. That's the time when dogs was biting us in the ass and hoes was being squirted on us. That's the good old days? I'm not getting that now. So it's like you pick and choose what you want and you like, and you go from there and you say that's your truth and that's what's right and that's okay. But we're going to talk about it. Let's do it.
Let's go.
The whole sagging thing. You said that unless you're in jail or whatever. Well, most black men are in jail, and which means most black men are coming home from jail. So are those majorities the a product of being in jail and they're bringing the jail to the streets? Is that the new? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. They're bringing the kingdom of jail to the streets. What's happening? No one's taking the time to, no pun intended, Nas, get to the root of it.
No, you're right.
I love this show and this platform. We are trying to get to the root of why everything is. What makes this right? What makes this wrong? Is it right and is it wrong? Is it based on your decision making? Is it because someone told you this? Is it because of history, or is his story just his story and we're accepting it for truth?
Right.
What is it?
Good. Let's really go into. I mean, at this point, I think we really need to go into where did we really start glorifying this? I mean, because it appears that right now we're putting a Band-Aid on a words or these words. I mean, I know we commonly use it, but do we have to use it all the time? I mean, honestly, real talk.
By you bringing that statement to the table is evidence that it's going to be whoever uses it or doesn't use it, decision. It's going to be just a person's decision. It's not necessarily going to be something that's going to be accepted, adopted, or whatever. It's going to fall down to how does the person that's using it receive it.
Right. Right. Okay.
I can bring all the points to this. I could dissect it or whatever. But in the end, it's going to be person's decision. It's no different from, it's kind of like a person's sin. Like, we tend to, like, when you're strong about something that is a quote-unquote sin, when you're strong at, I'm not a curser. So when you hear other people curse, you're like, Lord, have mercy. These heathens, they can't even, they call themselves Christians, but they don't curse. But yet, you have issues with smoking, so you don't want to talk about that. your gums gray as hell because you've been smoking all the time. You got gray gums and dirty lungs, and so you don't want to hear all that. Oh, I mean, well, you know, that's when you change it. Well, God know my heart. So it's like if we gonna stand on something or we gonna try to attack something, well, like. The best thing you can do is try to equate someone else's weakness to your weakness so that you can empathize with them, and then y'all both try to strengthen each other's weakness.
Right.
So,
that's
I don't
Christian
know, man. I don't know. On one end, I can understand it. On the other end, I can say, dang, this is dead wrong. We shouldn't be doing this. But have I made a decision about it? I know I've made a decision, and I'm going to tell you why I made a decision. I made the decision not to use it because I know who I am in the sense that I'm going to be successful at whatever I do. I don't know that my children are going to be able to do the things that I do. And because I know that and I know and understand the rules of society, there are certain things that I would do knowing that, well, I'm my own employer. I make decisions or whatever, so no one can dictate to me how I am. I will still refrain from doing those things so that my children don't pick them up and try to go out in the regular world or they don't become entrepreneurs or what have you to where they have to listen or abide by those rules, and that might hold them back. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. I mean, I follow what you're coming from. So, I mean, you're saying that you made an effort and a choice to try not to use the word. Is that what you're saying? I'm going to make sure I got it right.
Yeah, because in the end, none of our decisions are for us. Everything about our lives is going to be for someone else. All of our decision-making is going to affect someone else. Everything that we do, say, or whatever is going to affect someone else. A lot of people really do believe that crap, that your life is your life. It really isn't. More than likely, it's a gift for someone else.
Absolutely.
The stuff that we go through is to help someone else not have to go through by showing them the wisdom that we gained through the shortcomings that we had in our lives. It's called a testimony. Our testimony is not for us. It's for someone else. That's
Take
why we can't afford to ruin our lives, and we have to get through the stuff that we go through because if we don't, that leaves another person having to go through it.
I agree. I have to definitely agree with you on that one, brother. I agree because I do believe that a lot of our decisions, even my decisions I've made in my life, I didn't make decisions on my own. So I definitely have to kind of co-sign with you on it. Matter of fact, let me flat out co-sign, because a lot of my decisions now and even how I talk, you know, has changed. It's not just for my family, it's for myself, because I know how I carry myself is a reflection. So I definitely agree with you that a lot of times we make our decisions. So I don't use maybe this word like I used to use, or I had a family. I don't use the word like I used to do. I mean, you know, I still slip up. I'm human. It happens. Mm-hmm. But I don't use it because I understand that, hey, listen, my son, my daughter, my kids, they're listening to me. They're watching me. So I have to watch what I say. I have to watch how I carry on. So I definitely co-sign with you on that one, brother. What about you, Brother Dow?
Absolutely. I mean, Ed said it perfectly well that we don't live this life. We don't walk this journey solely for ourselves. We weren't placed here to the glorification of ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we were put here for the glorification of a higher calling or a higher being.
That's right.
Whatever you want to call your higher being, that's up to you. I'm not going to judge that for you. Mine is Jesus Christ, but I'm not going to speak it for you. Mm-hmm. But we're all here for a purpose and for a reason, and you never know whose life you personally impact. Not just the ones who live in your house. It could be a neighbor. It could be some dude that you see every day when, you know, you go to the store to, you know, to buy a water on your way into the job. It could be anybody that you come in contact with.
That's right.
That just
That's
likes
right.
the way that you do what you do, and one day wants to do it as you do it. You'd be surprised how many people that you impact in your day-to-day life. It's your testimony. Let your life be your testimony. You don't need nobody to stand up over you when your time is done to say a whole bunch of colorful words about you. Your life did that so eloquently for you. So, for me, I understand, you know, like I said, when somebody doesn't have the, let's say, the intellectual or mental wherewithal to use words in different manners, I understand that. And you might not mean me no harm in what you said. You know, yo, do you, my nigga? Now, I know that if you don't know no better, you know, you didn't mean anything by it, or you're of an age, you're of a certain age, you're like 24, 25 years old, you definitely didn't mean anything by it. With the utmost respect. Now, sometimes where we fall short is like, you know, embrace the love because it came from a good place.
That's
embrace
right. That's
love.
Right.
But, you know, not for nothing, come here. Now, it's me and you. That's a beautiful thing. But you understand, others do not necessarily understand as me and you understand. You feel
right.
me? You know, we need to get one and teach one. And that's what something
yeah.
that we fail to do.
You know what, Darrell? You hit on something like one. You that's wonderful that you said it because, and I think that has a lot to do with this big gap that we have with generations. The way that you just presented that is an opportune moment to bridge a gap. Whereas you got other people that just they don't consider where it's coming from and they go off. Oh, these young boys! I heard this older guy. He said, I remember, man, when I was younger, I saw the guy, and I asked the guy a question. Hey, brother, can you give me the direction for whatever? He's like, is your last name Johnson? He's like, no, it's Smith. Well, I ain't your brother. These boys walk around here talking about brother this, brother that. I ain't your daggone brother. Like, instead of saying, you know what I'm saying,
right.
there's an opportune time to actually bridge a gap and then grow from there, from the relationship that you build from that, but we ruin it by immediately going from 0 to 10 and snapping on somebody without trying to figure out where they're coming from and then guiding them on the right path because of the relationship that you built from not going from 0 to 10 and understanding where they're coming from or even understanding their generation, which is a whole other topic in itself, trying to
right.
study and understand each other's generation so that we don't snap off or whatever, and we can better communicate with each other to bridge these gaps. So that is a great way to go about it, and it's a great mindset to have that, okay, this young brother is not trying to be offensive. I know it's an offensive word to me, but that's not
right.
how he meant it. Let's go ahead and build a relationship from here, and then I'll tell him when the time is right, and even possibly now because of me not responding to him in such a manner, and on a one-on-one setting, because you know how like a lot of people like a platform. Oh, I'm about to go in on this young buck. You know, he's just coffee nigga. You know what I'm saying? Pulling him to the side, one-on-one to show for one a mutual respect, and say, hey yo man, I know you mean well, or young woman, I know you mean well, but that is just not appropriate to everybody, and that won't necessarily get you where you might be trying to go in life. I understand you wanting to be, you know, wanting to keep it 100 and all that stuff, but your 100 is leaving you at a 15 when it comes to this game called life, and I'm trying to get you past that. You feel what I'm saying? So I love it. I love it. That's excellent information, excellent advice. I'm glad you said that on the air. I hope people are listening. Like I said, going from 0 to 10, it's not going to bridge the gap, and it sure is not going to provide you an opportunity to enlighten someone because they're going to tune you out just like you just did them.
Absolutely.
Good. Well, very well said, gentlemen. Very well said. Definitely very well said. Now, you know, we went into the subject about the word nigga for quite some time.
Yeah,
now,
that B word.
We're
going to
go into a word that many of us men, and I can only talk from an African-American male stance, that you do not call your woman a bitch. But that is my personal experiences with violence and being hit and possibly spit on for using such a word. But why that let's go into the subject, right to the root of it. I'm going to borrow your term, brother, going to the root of it. Why do we use this word meta yet? Let's say women. Women use this word very commonly amongst each other, but yet they'll be the first one to say, oh, you can't call me that.
Actually, you know, it's not even necessarily just women. I'm going to tell you right now, just like the word nigga, I use it not for women, though. I was raised by a mom and all girls, not for women. I intentionally use it as a negative term if a dude got on my nerves or acted soft in my mind. I would call him that with the intent of making him mad and possibly start to fight.
Hold up. I got to interject on this one, brother.
I'm just going to keep it funny. I'm
going to keep
it funny.
You feel me on this one? I know you guys feel me. All my listeners, all my fellas is listening.
So
I don't know
not,
about you.
It was not uncommon
as
for
a
me
man, to, those are fighting words. A man called me a bitch.
Exactly.
Be prepared. You might as well spit in my face. I think next to being spit in the face, but when you call a real man, you call me a bitch, put your hands up.
Nah, I'm gonna tell you right now. That's just the way I used to be. To where I would say that, and I would intentionally smack you because I know it's more degrading.
You know what? Now you gotta
win
life. You
than,
gotta
win a punch.
I wish. Somebody would do that. No, I'm sorry. It was Cedric Entertainer. I wish. I come from that tribe of I wish. I wish a man would call me a bitch and smack me. I mean,
that's exactly how I carry. That's how I carry. If you got on my nerves and you came out your mouth wrong, that's what I did. So when you say the B word to me, that's immediate negativity, and I'm intentionally trying to frustrate you, make you angry, or what have you. I personally I cannot grasp anything good out of the word, and to be quite honest with you, those who normally call themselves bees or whatever, they're not necessarily saying that is a good thing. They're really trying to force it and make it a good thing. But if you really listen to what they're saying, like they're saying, well, I'm a bitch. I mean, that's what it is. They're saying that I get moody. It's kind of aligned with diva now. I get moody. I like myself a certain way or whatever. Please, females, if I'm wrong, please call me. Call the radio show.
We want to know. We definitely want to hear your voice in this one.
If you listen closely to when a girl say, I know I'm a bee or I'm a bitch or whatever. It's either used in that tone or context, or it's used in the context of guys saying nigga, that's my nigga, and a female saying that's my bitch. So in that sense, I could probably see it being used to glorify or give their girlfriend a compliment. But outside of calling saying that's my bee, to say that they are themselves or whatever, they are not saying that they are a positive or not even necessarily a successful female or a human being. I already told you how I used it. And that's just the way it was. And now I might not say it, but I promise you, I'm probably thinking to myself, man, he acting like a, and I say it in my head. that's the way it is. I'm sick of this dude right there. He acting like a... And that's another thing. And please let me clarify that I'm not saying that he's acting like a female. I my definition of that word is just a sensitive, weak, just like the word. It has nothing to do with a woman. It's all to do with just a negative, everything about the guy, I can't stand him. So please don't try to correlate me saying that a man is a bee is saying that he's a woman or a feminine or whatever, because you know, if you know me by now, I don't generalize male to female. So for me to try to correlate that he's acting like a woman and saying that he's acting a certain way that only women can. So,
wow.
So for those who try to get me there, please address me as such so I can correct you real quick. And then I probably think to myself, dang, he acting like a, you know.
What about you, D?
Man. It just blew my mind with that one, man. I'm like, whoa.
and D, you're a big dude, my man. I mean,
I mean, that's Ricky Lump Lump time, man. I mean, seriously. Man, It is odd and cracking. You might as well just like spit at one of my kids or something like that, because I'm about to kill you, man.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, seriously, man. What the world? Oh, man.
Hey.
I mean, okay, let's go back to like back to the females, because that one right there. Oh, that, I mean, whatever dude that did that to you, I mean, I hope they ain't listening right. If you are, bro, if you listening right now, if they called you a bitch and slapped you, call in right now and tell me where was your mind at when that happened. Because I know it was messed up. Seriously. It was messed up. I know. That's just fucking with us right now. I know for you, it happened to you. So I know you messed up. So call in, brother.
We just won. If you are listening, tell them. Please tell them how I've changed and I'm no longer that animal anymore. Please.
Yo, listen, brother Eddie. I mean, listen, man. I don't know if you're listening, my man. I mean, he may got that revenge. He may be drinking milk and hitting the weights now, brother. So you
understand? That wouldn't. I fear no man. Let's make sure we are correct right there on this radio right now.
Let me get this straight. Let me tell you something.
Don't let that Dr. Bill smile crack
me. And he's bigger than me. I will make it my life mission. Train. I will find you. And smack you. I mean, come in the jam, brother. That's cold-blooded. I mean, just straight up cold-blooded.
Hey. I've changed. I've come a long way. I have moved that anger to a different place. I'm no longer that guy.
Yes, you have.
You know. Ain't God good? That's all I'm going to say.
You know what? I got to go with you on that. Amen, brother.
But let's go back to the ladies for a minute.
All right, let's go with the ladies.
Let's go with the ladies. All right, now, I don't see how, Eddie said it right, there's no way that you can say that about a female, and it's a positive connotation. There's nothing positive about that. If you're going to say, you know, that's my bitch, not only what are you saying about her, what are you saying about you?
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
That's good. Forget what you're saying about her. What are you saying about yourself? What type of nigga are you?
You just tied it in.
In the Western definition of the word.
Nah.
Yeah, brother.
I just thought about it. We're getting to the root of it, right?
Yes, we are.
And I think I just, in my mind, just went through years just to find out where this came from. If you think about it, girls call each other the B word. Stems from girls trying to get their place in the rap game and adopting the word for themselves. Adopting the word for themselves and starting to use it in their lyrics or whatever, and then other girls adopting it through that platform as something good. It was a way for other females to take that word that guys were using to degrade them, in turn, degrading themselves as well as trying to get their place in the rap game and making on a serious platform, making a statement that, yeah, I am a B, but I'm not going to use it, kind of like the N-word. I'm not going to allow it to define me as what these guys are saying that I am.
Okay.
If you can find it farther than that, I will commend you, because I'm just trying to think about it. You got your little Kims and all that stuff. Prior to that, it was just Queen Latifah saying who you calling to be.
Right.
That's where hip hop came from. It was more of a movement and being political and trying to stand up for rights or what have you. And all of a sudden, it shifted.
What happened?
It did a crazy shift.
What happened to that era? I mean, what happened to that? What happened to the movement?
You know what I
hip-hop?
Hate to say? You know what I hate to say? I'll tell you right now. It's no different from liquor and drugs or whatever. Caucasians, and they found a way to use money to get us to shift the culture, to actually shift the minds of our people, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
It worked. Mm-hmm. If you want to keep it funky, they Willie lynched us.
For those listeners, I need you to explain Willie Lynch, because we got some people that understand Willie Lynch and Jim Crow.
You talking about? All right. Well, Willie Lynch was a man, and years ago in Virginia, slave owners did not have control of their slaves, and they could not figure out how to get control over their slaves. So what they did was they called Willie Lynch because he was known for getting slaves and stuff in orders. Willie Lynch told them that he had a great 300-year proof business plan that they can use to keep their slaves. Mm-hmm. Now, Willie Lynch, I need you guys to make the connection. Lynching, that's where the name lynching came from the name of this guy, Willie Lynch. So what he did was he came to Virginia, and this business plan was to take the biggest, strongest, darkest niggas male and pour tar on him and feathers on him and tie his arms and legs to two horses. And with that, set that man on fire.
Mm.
Set that man on fire, and those two horses who were afraid of the fire will run away from the fire.
Mm.
Ripping this man apart in front of all of the other slaves who respected this big, strong nigger slave. Okay? So that's where the whole mentality of not necessarily listening to our males, females, so that we can prevent them from getting in trouble by the white man. So we stop listening to our males, our black males, to listen to the white man to prevent the black man or protect our black men. Then what he said was, okay, now what I need you guys to do is take the dark slaves and separate them from the light slaves.
Put the dark slaves out in the fields. Take the light slaves from the house.
That's right. Now, what that will do is cause the lighter slaves to feel better than the darker slaves, and then the darker slaves will have a problem with the lighter slaves, which will cause division. Then what I want you guys to do is take the younger generation, the younger kids, is separated from the older generation, so there can be division amongst them. Then I want you to take the naughty head kids and separate them from the straight head kids, so there can be division amongst them, and just continue to divide them within their own culture, which will cause status and all kinds of pride or what have you to fester in our minds, and will continue to keep us dividing amongst each other, which is why the black culture is the most untrusted. We don't trust each other. We cannot grow businesses. Every other culture can grow businesses and everything, Chinese or whatever, but we don't trust each other. We put status on each other. Oh, I don't hang with her. She's too dark. I can't hang with him. He doesn't have enough money. It's just a whole bunch of division that has been placed intentionally in our culture to keep us divided and only going to the Caucasian or the white male for resources or what have you, because we don't trust each other, or we're just trying to protect each other from the white male. So that's the whole Willie Lynch business plan that has been going on for years and still going on now, because we're still dividing amongst each other, and we still don't trust each other, and we still don't like each other, and we're still putting ourselves in different categories and statuses and all that stuff like that, where we cannot trust each other. So his business plan worked, nevertheless. He did what he was supposed to do, and that was just another way of lynching, Willie lynching us by saying, hey, man, you talk about gangster rapping and killing and all this stuff like that, we'll pay you an extra whatever.
Right.
Hey, man, if you do the stinky leg and don't put any kind of lyrical content in your... We'll pay you more. I mean, listen how watered down our lyrics are, and our children are loving it. They're not saying a thing. They're not saying anything. No consciousness, no awareness or anything in the lyrics of the words of the song. And our children are loving it because it has a nice little tune, yet they're throwing their behinds on over there, on poles and all kinds of stuff, wearing skimpy clothes, talking about sex or whatever, and the kids don't even necessarily realize it.
Yes, exactly.
You got kids doing a Superman. They don't even realize that means squirting on somebody's
Superman at home.
Somebody's back in the daggone walk off the daggone bed. But y'all yelling Superman, not understanding the concept of what's being said. How many kids know the Superman dance?
Mm-hmm. Not understanding. I mean, I think you tied it in perfectly. You definitely tied it with the Willie Lynch factor and the terminology, bitch, alone. I mean, me personally, there's no way of putting it. No way around it. And I agree with Brother Dow as well. The word bitch, no matter how you try to wrap it up, you try to present it on a plate or roll it out, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't glorify. I just don't see it here, no right in it. There is no way around it. That's just my personal assessment of the word.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing you're going to get out of it that's positive. You're not going to get anything that's going to nurture or bring something about anything positively. I mean, matter of fact, we, just the three of us, do not necessarily feel comfortable even using the word.
Nah. We said
nigga.
Like, we got to get the courage to come out our mouth and say it on the air when it comes to that.
Exactly.
You got one more time to say it.
Yeah, outside of the whole kind of a female equating it to the word nigga, I honestly cannot see where, and please, like I said, I can't speak for everybody. I never could and never claimed that I could. So if you're a female out there and I'm dead wrong in your mind and in your eyes, please enlighten me on where you would say that outside of saying that that's my nigga or that's my bitch in the context of that. Please tell me where calling yourself a B or whatever, you would be saying that and intentionally meaning that you are a great person. I don't know. I'm lost. I'm stumped. Eddie Fairley is stumped. This is the day that a lot of people have been waiting for and looking for. But I am stumped. I'm stumped when it comes to where you would find positivity in calling yourself a B or whatever.
I just can't see it. I can't.
No one's calling. Does that mean that we're wrong or they just scared? I don't know.
You know,
but
I mean, I can't speak for the ladies. I mean, but I know that they're listening. You know, I don't teach to my daughters. I mean, when I first heard it say when she was little, you know, high school, I'm like, you know, whoa, what you doing? Dad, it's cool. It's what we do. What do you mean what we do? So is it okay if I call your mother that? She said, no. You know, is it okay if your mother talk like that? She says, no. Because my missus, she don't carry herself like that. And she, when she talks, she doesn't utilize that type of verbiage. So she tries to, you know, I guess, carry herself like a lady because she wants my daughter to be like a lady. And as of now, my daughter having a child, she's understanding a lot of things that we've talked about. So she's like, you know what, Dad, you've been right. Your mom's been right. Grandma, grandpa, they've been right. I mean, the word alone, to me, is one of the ugliest words out there. It's just plain nasty and disgusting. For women to use it towards each other, or even try to glorify it, and say, you know, I'm a good bitch. I mean, come on now, really? Does that even sound good? Does it sound sexy? Does it sound smart? It does not. So, ladies, to those listening, please rethink before you use the word. And when it comes out, it just don't flow smooth.
I'm gonna put it this way. This is how I look at the word B. I can't get anybody to call and speak on the word B. Okay, great. But I got money. Matter of fact, I put my mortgage on the line to say, if I said, are you B's listening to what we talk about? I guarantee you. You get back on phone lines with the light
man. Don't you do that.
I guarantee.
Don't you do that.
The phone lines will light up. Why? Because there's so much pride and not. There's so much pride in not being one or being considered one that the phones would light up. You want to find out if you got some listeners? Do that. You want to see who's listening?
We would survive.
That's on the line.
We would not survive it.
Brother. Listen, man. You don't do that, brother. Well, I just did a check, man. I sent you the text on it. We just reached 10,000 listens. Don't you mess this up.
we done.
I got a text from Sig. She said no woman used that before the rap era. No woman used the B word as a glorification term before the rap era.
That's absolute.
I agree. I think it was unheard of even. I think growing up, I think some of the people, I talked to my father and my mother. I don't know about you guys, but my father and mother grew up in that Black Power era. It was unheard of to even refer to a woman or even a woman carried itself like that. I mean, it was unheard of. Unheard of, like, you know, bitch. I mean, it was used in a negative sense. I mean, of course it was being used, but it was definitely used in a negative sense. So I definitely agree with your assessment with the hip-hop era, and I think, you know, Brother Eddie, you nailed it, because being a DJ as well, if you really look at it and you hear the term, it got glorified. I think a lot of women try to look, you know, we need our own word because the fellas got nigga, let me use the word bitch and try to glorify it. It's not working. So your lady rappers using it, you know, it's not working. I mean, maybe you get some play on the radio with this era right now. But
it was Lil' Kim, it was Foxy Brown, it was Eddie.
Exactly.
It was
It was a trend. Now, granted, I'm not going to sit here and lie and say it didn't get some lift off, because we wouldn't even be talking about it right now if the trend didn't get some lift off. The rap game has been around for a minute. Even that era, the Lil' Kim era, so that's back with Biggie or whatever. What's that, 90 what, 90, early
94,
90s?
93.
Yeah, 94, yeah.
Good hip-hop.
So we talking about, now that's funny that you just said that, 90s, that was good hip-hop. It's interesting, because this is where it was birthed from, just a side note. But so we're talking close to 10 years of that being a trend. And not necessarily dying yet. Because of the lyrical content of hip-hop, haven't been really listening to know whether they're still using it like that, realistically, but I don't know. It's definitely a trend that lasted.
Yeah, that's almost 20 years, because we're going on to 2014.
Oh,
that
yeah,
was like 94.
Ball. You're right, exactly.
That's
20. You're right.
And you think about it. Now, those little kids that, okay, when we were listening to it, and we were in our 20s, mid-20s, late-20s, we were in our 20s.
Teens, you know, late teens.
So, I mean, we didn't like, you know, if we were in the car and we're listening to this, that, and the other thing, and the kids in the car, the kids are just in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not saying everybody. I'm not saying necessarily
mm-hmm.
us.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about our generation.
You're right.
We raised our kids off of this nonsense. Instead of raising them off of, you know, Little Miss Muffet and this, that, and the other thing, we raised them off of what's beef, you know?
That's right. We raised them off of put it in your mouth.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Oh.
We did.
Oh, not that one.
We did.
You know.
Put it in your mouth and T-shirt and my panties on.
Hold on, guys. I think we got to call. Oh, stand by for a second.
Right.
You may be able to just answer your own question, Brother Eddie.
All right.
You're online with the Man Up Talk Show.
Hello?
You're on the Man Up Talk Show with Brother Nas and the brothers, Brother Eddie and Brother Dow. Who's on the line?
Huh? I think we just got a listener. It's like, I ain't called to talk. I'm just trying to listen to myself.
Well, we're going to keep on going. You know, but anyway, back to the subject matter. I mean, you're right. We did expose our kids to this stuff. We exposed them. You know, they listened to it. But then as, I guess, the eras changed and time went on, what is the other options that they have to listen to? What other options do they have? And you try to, you know, school them. They listen, you know, don't utilize that term. Oh, mom, dad, you know, this is what they doing now. This is the new thing. This is what we do. This is style. So it's a style to call you people a bitch or a nigga. Well, you said that. I heard you talk to uncle about it.
I
heard you call mommy that when you got mad.
Every generation. All right, we're going to do this because every generation has done that same thing. Every generation.
Right,
from your Marvin Gaye's.
Mm-hmm.
Marvin Gaye, it was gospel, and that was like, what are you doing listening to that stuff?
Check
oh my
music,
God,
right.
she's wearing blue panties. She's a whore. Like, where's Like, it's,
you know,
all, it was all a trend.
Look,
like,
Millie
to have colorful panties was like, you are disgusting. like, what are you doing with outside of beige and white panties? How did that happen? You are a freak. But
you know.
it's all been a time where I don't care how old you are, where you told your parents this is the thing. Bell bottoms are in. We're conking our hair. What do you mean you don't like it? So
you know,
it all depends on where you are, how old you are. So we're not gonna make it seem like you know, it's just our kids that's coming to us, because we did the same mess too.
Right.
We did the same mess. Matter of fact, it's our mess that got us to this mess, because it was allowing us to push the needle back for us that allowed them to push the needle back for them.
That's true, brother.
Move a little farther away from God every generation. That's all we need.
Ball hammers.
You're right. I just want to kind of do a revamp real quick, guys, if you don't mind. We're on the topic of here at the Man Up Talk Show. We're talking about the terminology, the words, bitch or nigga. Have we glorified or dehumanized these words? I mean, have we done it? I mean, a lot of times that we really went in about the word nigga, how we use it in our cultures, timing, area, workplace. We talked about that, and there was some real good talk with Brother Dow and Brother Eddie on that subject. And we talk about the terminology bitch and how it's utilized with many of our women and many of our men in today's society. You know, we definitely agree, for whatever reason, the word nigga has been commonly used throughout many years, and as black people, we have kind of embraced the word, per se, and drew the negativity and turned it to a positive. Not saying it's good, not saying it's bad, but we know where we come from, and we know how to utilize the word. We knew that the word was created as an ignorance to identify blacks by ignorant people. We know that's basically where it came from. But we, as a race, which is a strong race, are African American people out there, and not, you know, taking away from anybody else. I can only speak from my experience and who I am, along with you brothers. We've embraced the word. We turned it around. We know that sometimes we use it in the terms of endearment. Not saying it's right, it's wrong, but we've utilized it. It's our own way of communicating with one another. Not saying it's cool, not saying it's right, but that's the life that we've lived and we dealt with. The word bitch, let's go into that. The brothers talked about that, and just every way around the subject, it just comes out negative. We tried to look at it from the positive side and the negative side, but I think you kept coming back to the same topic matter. It just don't come out right, no matter how you put it. You know, so that's just kind of a little recap for those who's checking. It could be seen the switchboard lit up just now. We got about additional 5 listeners. They just want to listen. I'm seeing the lines right now. They're just listening. So we welcome you to the show, Brother Edward L. Fairley, Brother Dow Harrington is on the line now. So, guys, that was a quick recap. So let's get back to this word, bitch.
You always have me, like, analyzing it. I'm, like, seriously analyzing this thing right now, and I'm wondering, like, why was there never a movement for the B word? We've had movement over the N word.
That's right.
We tried to put it to death. I'm like, who the hell came up with that idea? We're going to put it in a casket, and people are just going to say, they're going to stop saying it. What? No, first of all, anything that you give a lot of attention to, whether it's good or bad, it's going to draw people to it. The best thing you can do is be pro whatever it is that you don't that you agree with, as opposed to giving energy to the thing that you don't like.
Right.
That's why it's better to, okay, stop using the word, as opposed to saying, well, you know that word nigga, that word nigga is terrible, man. I don't know why these niggas keep using it. What you do is you're giving power to the word. I remember in the hip hop era, I was young, but I was so weak in thinking how stupid it is that what they did was they were doing a movement on banning hip hop and how it was terrible to the culture. So what they did was they bought a whole bunch of hip hop CDs and they crushed them and stomped them. I'm thinking to myself, y'all just made them platinum, you idiot.
You still, you that's bought, what it.
They went and bought all the rap CDs and then made a daggone, you know, a public display on TV about rap, and then they stomped the CDs. But all they paid for the dude's meal and just made him a relevant artist.
Yeah, no, you're right. You know what they call it? Any promotion is good promotion, whether it's bad or good.
Exactly.
I mean, they can release the bootleg version.
Yeah.
you know, I'm thinking back, to the tape cassette.
but I say that to say this. I mean, granted, the publicity is terrible, but. Or it can be negative when you give it that kind of energy. But why hasn't there been an outcry for the word B word? Why hasn't there been some kind of march or something like that? Like, do we really feel that is that bad? Are we the only one?
I'm gonna take you deeper, brother. I'm gonna make you think a little bit more. I'm gonna borrow one of your tactics, because the word. When the word bitch is being used, I've heard many Caucasian people use the word. Women use it amongst each other. Maybe that's part of the reason. Because it's commonly used.
It's accepted by everyone. It's not just a one race thing. Oh, wow. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It's not just a one race thing.
That made me look.
I'm sitting listening to you.
I said, hold up. That word bitch is being used by every ethnic group.
Every single one.
But the word nigger always associated with black people.
Wow. So is that, are we tapping into something? Is it something we're giving black people
already.
Too much power to be able to use the word nigger, that we have to address this because I want my Caucasian friends to be able to do it too? Like, what is it? That's a very interesting research project, man, to figure out why that is. That is very interesting. That is taking a little step further, Nas, and saying that is something that you got most, or if not all, cultures that use that word. But at the same time, when they use it, it's never positive.
It's never positive. I hear women all the time at the job amongst each other. Every ethnic race, from black, white, to Hispanic. Oh, bitch is a bitch that. But when you say the word nigger, it always associates, and the foundation comes back to black people. When you say the word nigger, even if you say it in a positive or enjoying term, the word, the mind says, you know what, black. This came from black
you're
people.
Right.
They don't associate. Because even when you hear the little young white people say, young boys say, yo, that's my nigger. They're trying to equate, I'm cool, I'm hip-hop, I'm black.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it, and it cracks me up all the time.
Even when the modern-day Caucasian person says it in their house 24/7, they say, well, you don't say that around the nigger stuff.
I think a comedian said that really well. I don't know what comedian was. He says, well, you know, I bet you got, you know, some Caucasian or white people watching TV, and when a black person does something wrong, you know, he's not going to say, or she going to say, well, man, that African-American really did something stupid. They're going to say, that nigga done messed up. That nigga done fucked up.
Yeah.
That's his real talk. I mean, they're saying it, trust me. I think we got a caller online. Let me see if they call back in. I believe we have a caller online, so I'm not sure if you're listening or not. You're on the line with the Man Up Talk Show. Are you listening, or are you just calling in?
There's like he tried to trick me. He almost got me to say something. Like, they're going to really say, well, I'm listening, man. I just don't want you to.
Nah, it's cool. It's cool. I mean, you know, they got a hot minute to say online, but it's all good. I mean, we got a lot of listeners, you know, and we appreciate all the listeners that's online and on their smartphones. I know not everybody's here for the computer, but getting back to the subject. Let's go to the root of it.
Whoever that was, a female.
Are we glorifying the word bitch, or is it dehumanized? Which one is it? Can we lean a little bit more to which one? Oh, fellas, help me.
First of all, we are not gods. We can't declare what the heck it is. All we can do is address it and know that it exists. It's going to be the people's decision based on the information that we share to come up with their own conclusion. I do know that the person that you just tried to get to speak was like, man, that nigga just tried to set me up on the air.
You're really running with the topic, brother.
Man, I'm glad we could laugh about this. Because
you got to, brother. You got to.
No, because it causes a lot of people to get a lot really frustrated or upset. So for us to be able to laugh and learn, that's great because it makes it comfortable to learn and it breaks barriers and walls that are put up to try to be receptive to learning from it, which in turn allows enlightenment to take form. So, but it is man. It seems like the most controversial word of here today and ended up being the B word when I thought it was going to be the N word.
I mean, just from I gotta agree with you. What do you think,
man?
I mean, you think it's more the B word or the N word?
It's your fault, Nas. You're supposed to have somebody from the KKK up here, and it would
have
helped us better analyze this.
That needs to be live face to face. That's what I'm gonna call one of your moves. I'm gonna call my bitch and smack him.
Why are you trying to act like a nigger on face to face on TV?
I'm tying the two words together. I'm going to find the nigger in me to smack that bitch.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Darryl. I apologize, man.
the terminology, you know, with the word nigga and bitch, I mean, but yeah, you're right. It appears that the word bitch is more dehumanized than the word nigga right now. I mean, it's commonly used. It's been used for years. I think the word bitch has been more up-to-date used by many of us, and especially the hip-hop era. The newer hip hop era, I say the 90s, if I'm saying it correct, right, brother? But yeah, you know, we would definitely welcome those who want to call in. I mean, right now, there's this term, this word. I think there's no real. You know, I can't give you a personal which one is more worse than the other, glorifying or dehumanizing. I just got to go with the word bitch. I can't use it too much. I think I've used my quota for the night because I got the missus looking at me.
My bad, Daryl, man. We got on a little joking tantrum. But what were you saying, man?
Basically, you can't really differentiate what's worse. I think it depends on the individual. I think it comes down to the individuality of people, and also it comes down to being generationally. For anyone that is before our generation, the pre-hip-hop generation, I think there's a difference between the hip-hop generation and the rap generation. The rap generation...
Please explain that.
The rap generation is the Run DMC, the EPMD, the Eric B. and Rakim generation. I think Big Bun in hip-hop. I don't think anybody even heard the term hip-hop until the West Coast until B.I.G. brought East Coast back. I don't think that terminology was quite used at that point. Prior to most of the rap songs, I'm not even going to use the word hip-hop, most of the rap songs was about, I mean, the battles were real, but it wasn't anything too deep. You know what I mean? It was about your lyrical skills. It was about intellect. There was something in it.
I'm flipping it. I call hip hop that era in rap now. So maybe I don't know where you at, Nas, because I'm thinking hip hop is KRS-One, all those guys that had that lyrical content.
And it's crazy you guys are talking about that because there was a transition. People don't. I mean, those who's old enough to understand where, you know, rap started from and where is that now, there was a transition where both of those worlds collided. You had your conscious rappers going on, and you had those who took rap and said, oh, it's hip-hop, but they used it more of derogatory terms. And I'm going to say that era kind of swung hard into the gangster era, I would call it, with N.W.A. That word was flying.
Of course.
That was a transition right there. If you really look at that era, right. That was a heavy transition. They were using that word quite fluid and fast. You know, nigga, bitch. I mean, I'm talking about damn near the whole album sound like that.
Yeah.
And it was
a
transition. And then you found some of those rappers that was trying to keep that positive flow with skills and lyrics, like Rakim. They were trying to, you know, stay in there. But here it is. Society and a negative and industry, they want to maintain this. And once again, it goes back to that, let me control these niggas. I want to say that. You know, I think you talk about the Lynch gentleman. You know, hip-hop and then hip-hop and rap changed. You know, it's changed. I don't know what the hell they playing all the time now. It's to a point that it makes me sick to even hear it sometimes. It really pisses me off. But this is what a lot of these radio programmers are doing because they're flooding it. You'll notice the same songs being played. Because they want to maintain, they want to control. So once they do, they play these certain type of songs, it goes back to, okay, you know what, you need to blink. You need to wear this. You need to wear your pants like this. You need to walk and talk like this. Because they want to keep you controlled. You know, this is what's happening in the game right now. They want to keep you controlled. They want to keep the young ladies calling each other bitch. So they don't keep playing these songs on the radio. Because underlying what happens is, with that negativity, with everybody calling each other these nasty words and all that other crap that goes on, also there's the clothes that goes with it. The guys calling each other niggas. You're going to be a bunch of ignorant niggas, pants hanging off your ass, and wearing clothes that don't even fit. I don't understand. Please, someone help me.
No,
why?
You know what, though,
Nas? And they're tight pants. I don't get it.
Yeah, but check it. You said something that's profound. You said something that's profound, and it's deeper than actually what you said. You said they want to control us. No, they don't want to control us. They want to identify us. Because they put this terminology cause us to wear this certain type of attire, that kind of makes us sit out like a sore thumb so that they can identify who to target. As opposed to if we look more like who they would not deal with or mess with, I'll say mess with as opposed to deal with, we kind of look like them and they can't really identify if we should approach them in that manner. So if we make them all stand out, that's the people that we should be targeting and killing and treating them in a certain manner. And those are the people that we are to intentionally ask the questions that they won't know the proper way to answer. Oh, okay, can I search your car? Well, this nigga right here that's wearing the skinny jeans won't know that he has the right to say no. He's just going to be intimidated by me, so I'm going to just say, I'm going to ask him, and I know he's going to say yes. I'm going to search his car, throw something in there, and then I got him. I got another one.
Right,
so
they
use the stuff, I personally think, to identify us. Or have us sit out in a manner that they can take advantage of us.
I agree. No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I definitely can associate that exactly what I'm thinking about, because I definitely think it's an issue of identification, an issue of controlling our young people, their minds. I think we go back to that same thing we said earlier. You know, we don't know we're slaves. we're in a slavery world. People don't understand that we're there. Our young people need to open up their eyes.
Absolutely.
Understand? I mean, we're still stuck in that slavery mentality. They want you to call each other bitch. They want you to call each other nigga. And they want, you know, they want you to be like that. They want you to wear your clothes a certain way. So I do believe there's some part of control. You know, it's crazy because, you know, I'd always believe there's a bigger picture to a lot of things. I always believe there's always something. Something was created for something else. Definitely. That's why you have these special interest groups, but that's a whole nother subject. I think Brother Dow can understand that one on the political side.
Absolutely.
These special interest groups. we'll talk about gun control a whole nother. That's a whole nother issue. But I definitely believe that society tries to keep control of our young people as well as some of our older people. You know, so this terminology is used and glorified in many ways. And I just don't see something on the horizon right now for a lot of young people.
Basically, like you said, it's institutionalized slavery. No more, no less.
I like that topic. Can you say it again for our listeners?
It's institutionalized slavery. It is giving you
what we feel should identify you. Like, okay, mm-hmm. like, for example, when Bob Johnson started BET, black man wanted to start a cable network, and he did.
Yes, he did.
Certain level of success, and he was putting information and programming on that he thought was beneficial to his people.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
But what happened?
Certain folks,
I'm not going to say what folks, but certain folks, said, okay, this is both dangerous, but it also could be economically beneficial. So what we're going to do is we're going to offer Bob Johnson this. And Bob Johnson said, ooh, really? For this? You can have it.
You go in there, brother.
And he sold it to Viacom. Viacom owns it at the time in the whole nine yards. Now, I'm going to give you what I think you should embrace, not what you want to embrace. We're not – they didn't react to what we felt we needed or what we felt we needed. What they did was they produced an image that they thought that we should embrace. And because you aimed it to our children, you didn't aim it to us. You aimed it to our kids. Then children are impressionable. And meanwhile,
they're most influential.
Absolutely. While we're doing us. You know what I mean? That's what we're doing. We're doing us. We're making the cheddar to make it better. That's what we're doing.
Wow.
You know?
Wow, bro. I mean, you went deep on that one because, wow.
Yeah,
that's deep, brother. Yeah, because they seen the picture. They say, you know what? We're going to buy him out. You know, it may be Black Entertainment Television, but we're going to control some minds and some the next couple of generations because we're going to dictate what we want y'all to see.
Have you actually looked at what's on BET now?
Wow.
Seriously.
Wow.
Nope. I mean, nope. Basically, just keeping us where we are.
Yeah, you're right.
It is
exactly
sounds
right.
Like a bigger picture, gentlemen. I mean
right.
if I can safely say this, Brother Dow, I think you just picked the next topic for next week, brother. Because I know, brother, that me and him talk about mental slavery. But I think you just gave the perfect topic.
Yeah, modern day slavery. We already talked about that, man. I mean, you've been talking about that for a minute, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's just funny how we're talking about these two words and how it ties in. I mean, because I'm seeing how everything is starting to come back together. I mean, we're already glorifying, dehumanizing, and we're trying to get to the root of it as far as why we're discussing these words and how they embrace. And it just seems that there's a bigger picture here. It seemed like it's a bigger picture, and I know right now we can go on and on and on. I've been dissecting this topic and the different branches that come from it. I mean, I definitely see a bigger picture here, and you know, and it's okay because it's being embraced. Now, would BET now try to go on a campaign and say, "Hey, look, let's stop playing all these videos or playing these songs that's demoralizing black women as bitches or utilizing the word nigga all the time"? What if the radio stop playing all that? What if the video stop playing all that?
They shut y'all down. But, they would. But in the end, man, we have a dilemma here. And this is the dilemma. And this is why I love bringing everything to the table to allow people to make educated decisions. We have a dilemma. Now you have information, listeners. You have information from all aspects of these topics or these two words. So now you have to make an educated decision on whether you're going to use it or not.
Right.
We're not telling you what's right. We're not telling you what's wrong. We have provided you with information on every aspect of these two words. So now you're stuck with the dilemma. You know. You know better. You know what's real. You know the reality of the words or what have you. Now you have information that is going to force you to make an educated decision. It's going to force you to have a conscience behind the words that you use and the results that or the things that it can produce by using them or the mindset that it can cause by using it. So this is now the dilemma. What are you going to do with it?
You know, this is definitely thought-provoking, gentlemen. I mean, it's straight up. That's what it is. It's thought-provoking because, like you said, you put it out there. You know, we put it out there on the table. It's here. We gave you a couple of, and we're not trying to tell you, you know, we're not trying to tell you what to do with your life, how to, you know, talk. You know, everyone has a right to communicate however they want to communicate, but we put it on the table. But I can guarantee you, Brother Eddie and Brother Darrell, those listeners, listen to the show, and those who's going to come back and listen to the show and archives, I guarantee you that they're going to at least think twice. Every time they say the word, they're going to think twice. I can guarantee you, because you guys definitely beautifully put it out there to make you think. It makes you think about the history, why we say it, what we say the history. I mean, I think we attacked almost every part of it, but I'm pretty sure we can go on and on and on about it. But it's definitely a thought-provoking way, because I damn sure am going to think twice before I even say it. I mean, I may say it, I get mad, bump my toe, what the hell? Oh, dog, damn, nigga, you know, or this bitch. But I think you get the applause of the night, Brother Eddie, for the gangster move that you pulled back in the day, smacking a man. And the listeners just catching it. For those of you who didn't hear the show earlier, Brother Ed, he's in a different place, God, you know, God's been good to him, you know, and we support my man, and that's my brother, that's my brother from another mother. But my man, he said back in the day, he would smack a man and call him a bitch.
I sure would, without thinking about it, I sure would.
You get the applause and the gangster applause of the night.
You got issues.
I'm sorry. I got to give you an applause on that, brother, because there's no way in hell. And then, like my brother that caused a Willie Lump blow. I'm talking about just a riot breaking out. I just can't see it happening. And my man, if you're listening, if you check out the archive shows, you know Eddie, and he did this to you, you need to call the show. You need a hug.
Those that I have done this to in my past.
Apologize, no, man up. Man up, it's a man up show. Stay with it.
I apologize. Oh, I am no longer that guy.
No.
I am no longer that guy. I'm not going to say that I didn't feel that way about you when I did it. I promise you, that is not who I am now. My heart has been softened. I was an angry, bitter black man back then. Matter of fact, I was a nigga back then.
I think you used the word quite often, my brother. You let it flow off the tongue pretty smooth.
I was a straight nigga back then, and I'm glad that I found a way to soften my heart and educate myself and to stop judging people and coming to the conclusions that I did with the help of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm gonna put that out there. Let's make that clear. So with that help and with me taking the time to better myself, I became a better self, and I no longer smack guys and call them B words. I might think it though. I might think a guy act like a B. I ain't gonna lie. I might think it, but I no longer say it.
That made my night, bro. I never heard and admit to that. And still be talking. Oh, man. Guys, y'all been awesome. I mean, you know, we come to the tail end of the show. I want to make sure we have enough time to kind of do a roundtable of updates of what we're going on, because I want to make sure that we let a lot of our listeners know what Brother Eddie's doing. Hey, Brother Eddie, you want to tell
us? Hold on, Darryl. Darryl was saying something, though. I don't want to lose his talk, man. I like when Darryl speaks. Hold on, man. What was you saying, Darryl?
All I was going to say was that a total different topic is to B-slap a brother. That right there. Somebody give me the baby powder. What?
What the hell are you getting the baby powder for, dog?
So that they can see the slap mark. I wish I did have some baby powder, man.
You know
just
what?
So that they can see my fingerprints.
Baby powder.
When that nigga walks out, are you saying it's this big white ass fingerprint?
It's Johnson and Johnson on top. I mean, which one is he using, bro?
It don't matter. At that stage, it really just don't matter. It really don't. So, bro, if you go back to the archives and you listen to this show, the three of us get together, two or three are touching and agreeing, we're going to fade that demon somewhere else.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious. I know our listeners like they wilding right now, but no, this is the real talk. I mean, the word bitch and being called a nigga, I think call a bitch and a nigga for fellas, you get smacked by your woman who called you a bitch. Don't fight her. Just go for a walk. Cause I know many guys who have caught that.
Yeah,
you gotta walk off. Just real quick for our listeners, our brother Edward L. Fairley was on. Was it Hot 91? Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
Hot 91 this past. Well, damn, was it yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday. Yes, sir.
It was yesterday. You want to tell the listeners a little bit about what you did on the show?
It was a great topic. I wasn't supposed to be on that for that topic, but the topic was so great that it bled over, and I had already been scheduled to be on that show for that day. It was about child abuse and how it actually affects people and they're growing up and all that stuff like that. And they just used me to kind of tie it into how it can affect relationships or what have you. But it was another young lady who did a wonderful job as a psychiatrist who provided some excellent feedback to where I didn't really say much at all, and I did when she kind of chimed me in on it. That's when I spoke, but she held her own so well that I didn't need to say anything. But prior to me getting on the air, me and the guys in the back were talking, and he said he wants me to be on there more frequently based on what it is that I've already been doing and just having a conversation with me. So more than likely, I will be a common person on the air. I actually was talking to me, Sig, and my new manager. We had a serious business meeting yesterday, so me and you, Nas, had to talk about the radio show. The ladies started talking about my TV show, and I'll be having stuff on like different YouTube stations and all that stuff, where I'll be having different coaching or sessions and everything like that. So it's a lot of stuff in store for those who are receptive ears and minds and hearts to the words that I have to say coming up in the near future.
All right. Congratulations, brother. I mean, do we still have you as part of the band-up show, or do your exit? I mean,
don't do that. I'm here, brother. I'm here. All right.
Sometimes I need to hear you say that, bro. I love you.
I love this, man.
Now, this is my man. You know, I became an instant fan of Brother Eddie, and I say he's a brother. I mean that. I don't just say it loosely. I say he's a brother because, you know, he's a man of my heart. I mean, he makes me want to run through walls, and he also challenges my intellect. That's why I call him a brother. And there ain't too many men next to guys I've grown up with Brother Dow, my man Mike, big shout to Mike Ellis, and
sure.
You know, all the other brothers I grew up with. I mean, Brother Eddie is a true friend, true brother, and he'll keep it real. Cause let me tell you something, real friends will tell you about yourself, and he'll say that. So I appreciate him, and I also welcome all the success he's going through, especially with him and his family and everything that's going forth. So we, you know, once again, brother, we love you, and we were very proud
of
you.
Thanks, man. Same here. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Good questions. Keep on flowing, baby.
Well, you know, we riding with you, brother, so you got a crew already. So don't worry. If you got some beef, you know, the Jersey and New York squad's coming. Do me a favor, brother Eddie. Give a shout-out to the radio show that held you down, you know, for the listeners so they can tune in and check them out also.
Oh, that's a given. It's Hot 91.1. You can find it on online. It's with I'm not sure if you all know, it's a comedian called Herman Hurston, and he reached out and asked me to be on there. We actually linked up and did well. But it's Hot 91. It's FM in Hampton Roads, Virginia. But if you look up Hot 91, you can find their online website and tune in live on those mornings at from 6:30 to 9:30, but when I was up there, it was from like 9 to close to 10. So it was a great show, though. Great show.
Yeah, big
great
shout time. Out to Hot 91 for supporting the brother, and of course, you guys. I heard the show. You guys are doing awesome. out to you. And also, I would be remiss not to include our newest member to the family, but he's always been a family.
I love this guy. You know,
Brother Darryl.
Yes, sir.
Brother Darryl, who speaks very eloquent. What's up, brother? I mean, you want to kind of give a update and stuff what's going on with you lately?
There's a couple of community things. With me, I'm just blessed to be a part of this brotherhood. Ed, you my man, $1,000 grand. You just a man, man. Seriously. And like I said, man, and we go back before Show told Adidas.
We both had hair, dog.
You know, if we both had hair, there was milk carton football. I mean, that's how we got down. There's a couple of community things that are going on in the community tomorrow. Leaders for Life, Black Male College Fair. Brothers, if you know of a young man who's college age, who's ready to go to college, it's from 10 to 2. It's 84 Clinton Place in Newark. It's sponsored by the Investors Bank. The contact person is Mr. White. The telephone number is 973-969-3001. That's 973-698-3001. The address is 84 Clinton Place in Newark. Brothers, we need to step up our game. We need to encourage our young men to further their education. There are going to be people there about grants. There's going to be people talking about scholarships. You need to be involved. You need to get your young men there. If you got a son who's 18, who's 17, going on 18, even you got a child who's a junior, who's just starting to get his mind wrapped around, okay, what am I about to do? Okay, he's not going to be a part of it this year, but he might be able to meet somebody from that college who next year might be able to help him to get in.
We got to get our
young brothers positively thinking in a positive direction about their future. So this is for the brothers. Brothers, get yourselves to 84 Clinton Place tomorrow morning between 10 and 2. Also, the Orange Public Schools Community Resource Fair. Info and resources for parents, kids, and families. We're talking about everything from scholarships to mentors to starting small businesses, the whole nine yards. That will be at Lincoln Avenue School in Orange. That's 216 Lincoln Avenue in Orange from 8:30 to noon. The contact person is Brother Matthew Stevens. Telephone number 973-677-4000, extension 6086. I mean, people, there are things in the community that are out here that is for the betterment of you and your families. We got to start thinking outside of the box. We got to start looking out for each other and start to make some of these things happen. It's out here for us. You just got to take it.
Definitely, definitely. And just on my quick, you know, up front, big shout out to Ms. Vicky Martin that checks out the show. Haas couldn't make it. He still was at work. You know, we want to send our shout out to another radio personnel checking us out, Ms. Diamond D and Mr. Jay Hunter. I appreciate the love that you're supporting us. Tony Shannon's on the check-in. And, of course, the lovely Ms. Raven. And I'm going to give a special shout out to Sig. Sig, I want to apologize for the little technical difficulties because I know you're one of our biggest critics and fans. So we appreciate you and I love you very much for that as we are. You know, keep doing what you're doing, keeping it sharp. And I apologize for the technical difficulties. It will be fixed and rectified. But good things are happening here with the Man Up Talk show. We have officially reached over 10,000 listeners who's checked out our show through the short time that we were available. So we appreciate you guys that they had the opportunity to check us out. We really do. We really, really do. And I'm very humbled by that. And along with that, we're going to keep on making moves and to try to give you the best quality shows out here. And to the root of it, show is we in progress, but we're definitely going to talk, Brother Eddie and Brother Dow.
Oh, yeah.
I got about 10 seconds left. I just want to send my blessings to everybody and thank you for listening to the show. We love all you guys, and we encourage you to check us out next week. And technical difficulties will be fixed, but we love y'all. Thank you for listening.
Y'all be safe, man. Peace.
Peace.
You too,
love.
Eddie. We bless you.